Now it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I am here.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Hey, this is great.
Freedom. Yes, freedom. Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
All right, welcome back. It's hour two, Toker Talk Radio. I'm Radical Russ Belville, your tour guide of this smoky-filled haze of marijuana legalization here in Portland, Oregon. Although that smoky haze is a lot from the wildfires that are still burning out here. On my way back from the coast on Sunday, Highway 26, the route back from Seaside, was closed. They closed Highway 26. We had to take the Timber Junction through Timber, Oregon. I've now been to Timber, Oregon. I never would have been there before. And it was great. It was all these, you know, mountain 10-mile-an-hour hairpin corner type road, right? Added an hour to the trip, but it was kind of neat to see that section of Oregon. Now, I wanted to address some of the other stories we've got in the news today. Coming up later on the show, we're going to talk about an Oregon wedding that featured a marijuana bar and why that's not shocking. And Electric Tuesday, we've got our Daily Toker Tunes coming up. Electric Bob will call in with some great music for us. And then in the second half hour, we're going to talk about Representative Jared Polis and other members of Congress who are protesting for food freedom, and hemp is a part of that. And then we'll finish up with another drone story. Gotta love the drones and prison stories. Those are coming up. But first, let's get back to something that was in Hour One's 420 Radio News. And that was this poll. Now, the only organization, the only online news organization I can find that's reporting this is the Colorado Springs Gazette. And understand your geopolitics. Colorado Springs, a very conservative military town, hates pot. Okay. So in the Colorado Springs Gazette has this story. New poll shows more Coloradoans opposed to legal marijuana. And in the poll, 51% said they'd vote against marijuana legalization if it came up today. Now, the interesting part about this, you know, you got to know your sources. And first of all, they don't provide a link to the actual poll. So I can't find the real poll question. And that can have a lot of impact on how the people respond to the poll. If, you know, you change a word here or there, use a different frame here or there, you can drop a poll by about 5-10% sometimes. So I don't know the wording of the poll. Number two, it's sponsored by the Community Alliance for Drug-Free Youth. Okay, so they're already, you know, the sponsor of the polls got some bias in them. And the company's called Smith Johnson Research. Really? Smith Johnson? Is that your real name? I never heard of them. Never heard of Smith Johnson, right? But they say 51% would vote against legalization. But the poll has a margin of error of plus or minus 4%. So if that was minus 4%, you'd be down to the 47% who'd vote against it, which was about what you had in the election, right? But the other point to be made here is this is a bit of an outlier poll. What we've been seeing from polling in Colorado has been a steady upward trend. In November of 2012, the vote was 55% to legalize. Now, in a CNN poll from April of 2014, so well after it had passed, and pot shops were in play, 52% were for it. Quinnipiac in April of 2014, 54%. Quinnipiac in July of 2014, 54%. Huffington Post from September of 2014, 55%. Quinnipiac from February of this year, 58%. Quinnipiac from April of this year, 62%. And I don't know who Smith Johnson Research is and the Community Alliance for Drug-Free Youth. We know who they are, but Quinnipiac University is one of the most respected pollsters on the planet. So we're supposed to expect that the past two, like between February and April, it was 58 and 62%. And somehow in Colorado since April, it's dropped to only 49% support. Now, I'm calling shenanigans on this one, too. I don't believe this poll and, you know, the Colorado Gazette, Colorado Springs Gazette, of course, being a very prohibitionist organ at that. And seeing that they get a quote from Project Sam, right? So this whole story by Megan Schrader, by the way, starts with the bad poll, gives you some more bad poll numbers, and then gives you a quote from Smart Approaches to Marijuana with no rebuttal quote from Normal, Safer, Mason Tvert, anybody they could have asked who could have responded from the other side. So that's the kind of marijuana journalism you're going to get out of the Colorado Springs Gazette.
America's Double R7 secret agent of progressive change.
The name's Belville, Russ Belville.
This is the Russ Belville Show.
All right, we're going to take a break, pay some of the bills, and remember, check out our sponsors list. You can find it at 420radio.org. Just scroll down below the player, and you'll see all those 200 pixel boxes. Those are the people who are keeping 420 Radio on the air, making it so I don't have to have a real day job. So I can spend all day, literally all day, reading, researching, and for that matter, smoking marijuana. It's a great job if you can get it. When we come back, we'll talk about an Oregon wedding with a pot bar.
This is Matt Abel, and you're listening to 420radio.org, live from Hempfest.
Hi, I'm Alex Rogers, producer of the fourth Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference, the OMMBC. There have been a lot of recent changes to Oregon cannabis laws. Recreational sales start October 1st, new licensing from the state, and changes to medical marijuana. Are you prepared? Join us at the downtown Portland Hilton September 12th and 13th with the industry's top cannabis business experts, political leaders, exhibitors, and nightly networking events. For more information, join us online or give us a call. The OMMBC. Be part of history.
Expand your horizons and join us every Wednesday night for Gordon Green's Music Planet. You'll hear an eclectic mix of music from all around the world. Catch the first show of the month for an intro to world music. It's Gordon Green's Music Planet, Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Pacific, with replays weekends at midnight on 420radio.org. Imagine life without taxes. Let New Era Certified Public Accountants, NewEraCPAs.com, handle your Cannabusiness 280E and tax strategy. Get your business prepared with New Era CPAs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. NewEraCPAs.com, with years of experience in the industry, we are one of the nation's leading accounting firms for growers, dispensaries, and ancillary companies from Washington to California. NewEraCPAs.com.
Oh. Oh, welcome back, everybody. That's Gemmaster A with Funky Jump B. It does. It sounds like a funky jumping bee, doesn't it? That's some of our Electric Tuesday music. Got more of that coming up. Brand new stuff. Electric Bob down in Arizona has a great record label. I think he's renamed the label. But he's got new artists on that label. We'll be hearing some more of that coming up at 20 after. But in the meantime, just got some news in that I want to talk about. Going to add this in. There's been more news in the Ohio legalization campaign. 2015, you know, they're voting on marijuana legalization in November in Ohio. And now the ballot title has been issued for what is called State Issue 3, which is the Responsible Ohio ballot initiative to legalize marijuana as a constitutional amendment. The title is Grants a Monopoly for the Commercial Production and Sale of Marijuana for Recreational and Medicinal Purposes. And that's a little shocking because that sort of phrasing, that sort of framing is intentional by the Secretary of State, John Husted, to put the one part of the amendment, which is the commercial production of marijuana. There's so much else in this amendment. It legalizes marijuana for medicinal purposes. It legalizes home growing of marijuana. It creates a marijuana industry. It taxes marijuana. This title could have easily read, legalizes the commercial production and sale of marijuana for recreational medicinal purposes. There was no need to put the word monopoly in there. How the marijuana is produced, describing the economy behind it, was an extra effort you put in there on purpose to try to confuse, frighten voters. And technically speaking, it's not a monopoly. A monopoly is one interest that has control over something. There are 10 separate competing interests that would control the grow sites in Ohio. Now, you can call it an oligopoly, but you know damn well John Husted didn't want to put grants an oligopoly for the commercial production, blah, 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 because he knew half the voters wouldn't know what the word oligopoly is. So he picked monopoly on purpose. Now, his spokesman, Joshua Eck, responded to TV reports about this and defended the use of the word monopoly, saying, Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines monopoly as a person or group having complete control over something. And the titles on the ballot are designed to describe what each issue would do. Okay, well then what you're defining, a person or group having complete control of something, would mean one group. If one group had control over all 10 sites, that would be accurate, Joshua Eck. But these are 10 different groups with control over 10 different sites. You can't weasel your way around this with a dictionary definition. So then he goes on the attack. He says, if the supporters of Issue 3 didn't want Secretary Husted to describe the amendment as a monopoly, perhaps they shouldn't have proposed a constitutional amendment that creates a monopoly. Oh, so we're down to the schoolyard level now. And then he continues by saying, you'll also note that several print publications have referred to Issue 3 as a monopoly or a cartel. So clearly the secretary isn't alone in believing the word monopoly is a good word to use for describing Issue 3. Yeah, somebody described it as a monopoly, therefore it must be true. It was written in a book, it was written in a magazine, therefore it must be true. Give me a break. And then, all right, so we'll report more on this tomorrow. We'll have some more to talk about Ohio tomorrow. I don't want to get too much into this, but I wanted to get to this story here in Oregon. KGW reported on this. And let's see if I can just get the audio from this story for you, because, I mean, I'm sure you'll all just be totally shocked.
Well, tonight we're going to talk about one of the more unusual but timely trends when it comes to weddings. Oregon's legalization of marijuana has given way to weed bars at weddings. Reggie tells me this came up when he had the networking group Women Grow on the show recently. A couple married a few weeks ago in West Lynn appears to be one of the state's first to add a weed bar to their big day.
Oh, it was absolutely beautiful.
The summer wedding of John Elledge and Whitney Alexander included a weed tent on the family Christmas tree farm in West Lynn.
We were shocked, utterly shocked at the response. People loved it. I'm still getting 15 to 20 texts a day from people saying what a life-changing event that was and what a great experience it was to have a smoke tent there.
The California couple used Lake Oswego's Bridal Bliss to plan the day. It was their first request for a canna bar.
We posted a couple photos from that wedding on Instagram and Facebook, and they have just blown up. They've gone viral, and people either love it, they think it's such a fun idea, or hate it. They think it's just disgusting.
Key for the Bridal Bliss wedding planner was safety, providing transportation for all the guests. The couple came up with the product and hired the bud tender to control consumption.
With the new recreational laws, you can only have up to 8 ounces on private properties. We had about 13 different strains there.
I thought maybe it would pull a lot of people away from the reception and that a lot of people would be hanging out in the tent, but it actually did the exact opposite. People really just kind of popped in.
At the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, they admit this is new territory.
So yours was the first question as to whether or not marijuana can be consumed at a wedding in terms of a reception. Well, if someone's holding a wedding ceremony and a reception in their private home or a member of the wedding party's home, alcohol and marijuana are being consumed on the premises, that's allowed.
Weed bars are not allowed any place that has a liquor license, like a restaurant. And people with a liquor license, like a caterer, can't serve alcohol where marijuana is also available.
Caterers should be aware that they can't be bartenders and bud tenders.
The groom, in what may be a first of its kind for Portland, is happy to be a pioneer. He's a professional marijuana grower in California who thinks offering weed to his guests made the day extra special.
The oldest person we had in the tent was an 81-year-old woman that was in there who hadn't smoked weed since the 60s. She loved it.
Now, the OLCC does point out that for now, if there's a liquor license involved, there can't be any pot served, but they add state lawmakers could someday change all that.
And someday can't come soon enough. It's time to change that. How? I mean, now I imagine that this marijuana wedding bar, you know, reception wedding bar becomes popular. Other people want to start having that at their weddings. Then they find out that they plan their wedding. They decide they're going to have a marijuana bar. And then they get a note from their caterer. Hey, we didn't know you're going to have a marijuana bar. We have to cancel our catering contract because we have a liquor license. Even if they're not serving liquor at the wedding, if you've got a caterer and the caterer has a liquor license, they can't be involved if there's marijuana involved. This idea that we need to keep marijuana and alcohol separated is insane. And this idea that adults gathered in public places where alcohol is allowed can't also enjoy marijuana or enjoy marijuana is a travesty. This is insane. We've got to have this change. And it shouldn't be shocking to anyone that this proved to be very popular. People understand out there in the streets that the average folks know that marijuana is a popular thing. And how many times do you go to a wedding where, oh my God, I got to go to a wedding and I got to hang out with some, there's some people are going to get drunk and rowdy and it's going to be a pain in the butt and all that. How much more relaxing and fun would it be to be at a wedding and get a little bit high? I know for sure more people will show up to your wedding. You want to get people to your wedding reception. I think the weed bar is the way to go. So it's just funny to me how they presented this as, wow, this amazing new thing, a marijuana bar at a wedding, when I've been to so many weddings where people have been smoking pot. Hell, my wedding. We had pot smoking right after the reception. After grandma and all the relatives left, we just went and enjoyed some pot. So it's been happening at weddings since the beginning of weddings. But now, instead of it being the younger generation sneaking off to go back into the garage or around in the alley or wherever the hell it is they've got to smoke, now these weddings can actually set up a place for them to enjoy it. I wonder if that would work in Washington State, though. Would setting up a pot tent at your wedding be one of those felonious activities?
Yeah. The Nile ain't just a river in Egypt.
I'm really thinking that eventually the economic forces will cause the legislature to change this. Too many caterers losing wedding gigs, too many bars losing out on potential parties that might be held there with weed. Eventually, the money's going to talk, and these bar owners are going to want a piece of that marijuana business.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with our Shoutcast stream for all internet-enabled media players. Go to rad-r.us/420shout or just click the Shoutcast icon below the live radio feed at 420radio.org. The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
As a police officer, I walked a beat, served on the vice squad and SWAT team, and became an expert on drug addiction. I saw firsthand the effects of Ohio's destructive marijuana laws. Simply put, they don't work. Ohio spends over $100 million each year on this failed effort. It's time for marijuana reform, so law enforcement can spend their time cracking down on real criminals and making Ohio a safer place for our families. Vote yes on 3.
Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal. Ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers. Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Electric Tuesday, featuring the latest in electronic dance music and other cutting-edge genres. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We don't have a call today from Electric Bob. He's probably busy trying to beat the heat in Phoenix, Arizona. So we're just going to go straight to our Electric Tuesday Daily Toker Tune from his new record label. And I forget what the name of the label is, but this is the artist called Spam M with Only Me, Broken Souls.
This is me, and if you don't like me, well, that's bad news, because this is the only me there is.
Go in this nigga pocket. Robin Wallace Friends Watch It. The hole's clocking.
This is the only me there is.
Here comes respect.
Condemn, I don't give a damn. This is me. And if you don't like me, well, that's bad news.
That's that nigga with the fake. Wow. Why you punch me in my face? Stay in your place. Play your position. Pick up my intuition. Go in this nigga pocket. Robin Wallace French watch.
This is the only me there is.
Robin Wallace French watch. Robin Wallace French watch.
Hey, this is Steve Burke, and you're listening to 420 Radio.
Yeah.
The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone, and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear, and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com. This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today. You're listening to 420 Radio. Listen Mondays at 1 p.m. Pacific for The Human Solution, podcasting at thsintl.org. The purpose of The Human Solution is to support each other through the trials we face as cannabis consumers and spread educational information about cannabis. Check our online listings for The Human Solution with Joe Grumbine from thsintl.org. At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
Man is a singular creature. He has a set of gifts which make him unique among the animals, so that unlike them, he is not a figure in the landscape. He is the shape of the landscape.
We are all children of Africa. Children of Africa.
prairies all began.
In a posh African landscape, man first put his foot to the ground, to the ground, to the ground, to the ground, to the ground.
Africa was our only home for tens of thousands of years, until a small handful of people made their way.
These beings with soaring imagination, eventually flung themselves.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Sorry for the delay. That's Children of Africa, the story of us from the Symphony of Science. Check them out at symphonyofscience.com. And it's interesting how sometimes coincidences happen. So I wrote my piece for Marijuana Politics today, and I used it in my cannabis community chat segment in hour one. And that was the impact of dabs. Would they spark the next parent's backlash? And so I get pointed out from my friends at Normal that Keith Stropp wrote an article today that is called Let's Be Smart About Dabbing that appeared today. I just want to assure everybody that we're not collaborating on what we're going to write. In fact, my article for High Times the day before, or actually the High Times article published today, I think, my article for High Times today disagrees with Keith Stropp on not fighting for pot use at regular old alcohol bars. I think we should. But anyway, let me read to you Keith's article. Let's just see how close we were. Let's be smart about dabbing. A new scientific review of burn injuries in Colorado confirms what many of us have been saying for some time, that the popularity of dabbing, that is, the use of hash oil, brings with it some real dangers and some potential political dangers. I have previously written about my own preference for flowers rather than concentrates or edibles, but that is largely the result of my age. I began smoking marijuana 50 years ago when I was a freshman at Georgetown Law School, and back then one was lucky if you could establish a reliable source for good marijuana. And these more esoteric versions of marijuana were largely unheard of. Occasionally, the dealer would have a little hash, allegedly imported from Lebanon or some other distant country, although one never really knew. But it was usually terribly expensive and treated more as something to be saved for a special occasion, like champagne. Most of the time, it was difficult enough just to find good pot. But I understand the culture has evolved over the ensuing decades, and many of those wanting to enjoy the marijuana experience today prefer something other than flowers. In the states that have legalized marijuana, a growing minority seem to prefer edibles or concentrates. Whether that trend will continue is uncertain, but so long as a significant segment of the consuming public wants to obtain edibles or concentrates, we should focus on ways to permit that without endangering the public. Regarding edibles, as our initial experience in Colorado has demonstrated, the key components to using edibles safely are proper labeling to avoid accidental ingestion, proper dosage per unit to avoid inadvertent overdosing, which is never fatal, but can be terribly unpleasant, testify, and better educational outreach to novice users so they understand the lag time between ingesting the marijuana before the full psychoactive effects are felt. So the initial concern over a few mishaps involving edibles in Colorado seems to have abated. Informed consumers should experience no problems enjoying the marijuana experience from infused edibles. Concentrates. With concentrates, the most serious issue is the risk of explosions by those who attempt to extract the THC using butane. Novice consumers need to be made aware of the increased strength of marijuana in this form, and concentrates, like edibles, must be kept safely away from children. Hash oil is a potent marijuana concentrate that can be as strong as 90% THC and is easily manufactured. The process is readily available on the internet, using butane as a solvent. But the process is also highly volatile and can result in dangerous explosions that all too often cause serious and sometimes deadly burn injuries. The similarities with the rash of meth explosions a few years ago is difficult to avoid. A new study just published in the Journal of Medical Toxicology analyzed the incidence of burn injuries from butane hash oil extraction in Colorado from January 1, 2008 through August 31, 2014. Comparing the 2 years prior to the legalization of medical use in the state, the period of medical use only in Colorado, and the first 8 months of 2014, the first year of full legalization. According to this study, There were no such incidents during the 2 years prior to the adoption of medical use. 19 cases during the medical use only phase, lasting from October 2009 through December 2013, and 12 cases during the first 8 months of 2014. So the total number of these explosions was small. Those involved in these butane extraction explosions were largely white, 72%, male, 90%, and young, median age of 26. And the median length of their hospital stay was 10 days. The study's authors concluded, quote, "Hydrocarbon burns associated with the hash oil production have increased since the liberalization of marijuana policy in Colorado. A combination of public health messaging, standardization of manufacturing processes, and worker safety regulations are needed to decrease the risks associated with BHO production," end quote. Another risk associated with these burn incidents is the possibility that the non-smoking public may be influenced to oppose further legalization proposals because of the dangers presented by these explosions. Although the actual numbers of explosions are relatively low, each one of them are scary, and most become major news stories, at least on the local and state level, thereby frightening large numbers of citizens, many of whom base their support for legalization on the premise that prohibition causes far more harm than the use of marijuana itself. These incidents of butane burn injuries may well cause some of our supporters to reevaluate their prior support. And there is no reason for us to incur this political baggage. We have an alternative production method that is safe. This is a risk that could be avoided by using a CO2 extraction method instead of butane to produce concentrates. And as a culture, we need to get the word out that it's time to bring an end to the use of butane extraction altogether. It's dangerous to produce concentrates with butane, at least by amateurs, and it may well present a health risk to the consumer. The CO2 extraction method is safe and non-volatile, avoiding any danger of an explosion. And consumers are further protected because bacteria, mildews, and molds are destroyed, and there is no butane residue in concentrates made this way. It's a win-win solution, but we need to better inform those who produce and use concentrates. If consumers begin to demand CO2 extracted concentrates and reject products made with butane, the industry will fall quickly in line. It's time we insisted on the responsible production and use of concentrates. Otherwise, we may find ourselves facing significant limitations or even total bans imposed on the production and availability of these products. Let's resolve this problem ourselves so the authorities need not deal with it. That's the article today by Keith Stropp, the founder of Normal, on butane hash oil. Now, I agree to the extent that the force of the community, economically speaking, asking for CO2 concentrates will lead to more CO2 concentrates being made. That's just the way markets work, supply and demand, right? And there are already some who are rejecting hydrocarbon-based solvents, the butane hash oil, propane hash oil we've got out here, PHO. There's hexane hash oil, if you can find it. But a lot of people are starting to reject that for the reasons he listed. Incomplete purging, for one. But I don't know that necessarily butane hash oil needs to be demonized to the extent that that article does. In that, well, here in Oregon, we made it illegal to home produce BHO. Okay, it's not only illegal to home produce it, it's illegal to possess any home produced BHO. So we did what we could in our legalization law to turn people away from that. And the legislature did us one better by changing the definition of extracts that we had written so that it now only includes the anes, butane, propane, hexane. That's what an extract is. So basically, in Oregon, if it wasn't extracted with hydrocarbons, then it's not an extract. Now, there is one exception. If you extract using CO2 with high heat and pressure, I don't know how a cop would ever determine that. Once the extract exists, how would you even know what technique it was extracted by? But okay, so it's illegal to produce CO2 extract made with high heat and pressure. And the purpose of the law, of course, is that you don't want the explosions to happen. So let's not have the hydrocarbons, these explosive gases in residential areas, blowing places up. But the extent of how this has changed things is here in Oregon now, if that extract was produced with CO2 and not using high heat or pressure, one or the other, right? Because the law is written with an and. Has to be CO2 and high heat and pressure, all three. So if you're making a CO2 extract with high pressure or a CO2 extract with high heat, but not both, you can have a pound of that in your house. Actually, you can have a pound of that on you, I think. I don't think there's a public limitation to that. Concentrates are the new definition of things extracted with CO2, as well as alcohol extractions, ethanol extractions, ice water hash, bubble hash, kief, rosin press. All of that stuff now is defined as concentrates, not extracts. And you can have a pound of it. That, to me, is going to be the thing that moves us in Oregon away from butane hash oil. The fact that you can possess so much more of it is going to make it something you can is going to be more in demand for. If I know that the extract I have made with butane could lead to a cop deciding, oh, you've got that in a separate container? Do you have a receipt from where you got that? Is that a homemade extract? How would I be able to prove it's not? I'm sure I could. I got a great lawyer. But who wants to pay a lawyer to have to fight that fight? On the other hand, if the extract I have is made with CO2, I don't have to even worry about that fight ever happening. So the way our law is written here in Oregon could become a model for how other states might want to legalize and deal with the issue of butane hash oil. We shall see. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll finish the show up. We're going to talk about drones and prison. We also have the phone lines open at 844-207-2346. That's 84-420 Radio. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show. We'll be right back.
Five of the last nine major party candidates to run for president, three of the last nine vice presidential candidates, and the last three two-term presidents have all smoked pot. Marijuana, the gateway drug to the White House. This is the Russ Belville Show.
Hi, this is Steve Vetran from Chula Vista, California, and you're listening to 420radio.org.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
Thank you.
Welcome back, everyone. Oh, my goodness. So I've got medical care for the first time in a long time. I just started to imagine, when was the last time I had medical coverage? A long time. This is something that, you know, a lot of us in the cannabis community are well aware of, is most of my career. Okay, so in my 20s, I was a professional rock and roll musician. And then I had temp jobs that I would take, like clerical temp jobs, right? And so no healthcare coverage in being a professional rock and roll musician. In fact, it's the opposite of healthcare coverage. It actually helps to kill you. Okay. And then my day jobs, the little temp jobs, they always, you know, they always say that they've got these benefits that you can get, right? But it's like you'd have to work for the same temp agency continuously for a long time before any of those kick in. And I was working for like multiple temp agencies. And this was like the 80s and early 90s when, you know, computing was very new and there were very few people who could do it. And so I got a lot of work, but none of it ever had healthcare coverage. And, you know, I've been very fortunate. Aside from diabetes, I come from a very healthy family other than the diabetes, right? I'm pre-diabetic. I'm having to fight that now. So, but otherwise very healthy. So through my 20s, you know, I never really needed much healthcare coverage, except for one time, but we'll leave that story alone. And then through my 30s, I've never really needed it. And in my 30s, I had moved from being a professional rock musician in Idaho, I know that's weird, to being an IT professional in Oregon. And so I was still working as a contractor most places. I did have a teaching gig, teaching computer software that I had some healthcare coverage with, but it was very limited, didn't use it much. And then I went into being a contractor, which again, once you're a contractor, you don't really have healthcare coverage. So this is the first time probably since I was in the military, like National Guard, that I've had any reasonable healthcare coverage that I made preventative use of, right? Like I've been to the hospital when I got injured and stuff, and I had surgery on my feet, but you know, those are emergency things like preventative healthcare. This is new to me. It's absolutely brand new. This is like a luxury, and it shouldn't be in this country. We should have healthcare. I mean, every other civilized first world Western democracy has a form of social healthcare. Single payer, universal, government run healthcare. I mean, what good is a government if one of the things it's not going to do is take care of the least of us, take care of us in our worst of times, right? But anyway, that's beyond the pot angle, but you know where I'm getting at, right? So this healthcare coverage, this is new to me, having healthcare. So I biked out to the eye doctor, ophthalmologist. I biked out to the eye doctor, which is a 10-mile bike ride down the 215 corridor, 205 corridor, I should say, 205 corridor. And nice bike ride. It's on a city bike path that we have. And so 10 miles out, 10 miles back, did my biking for the day, burned a lot of calories, feel really good about that. And so I'm getting glasses. I'm getting these progressive glasses. I got to get these bifocals. And, you know, and I was just stunned at how much it would have cost me to get glasses. Now, I got healthcare coverage and I got some Cadillac healthcare coverage because my wife works for Kaiser Permanente, like high up in Kaiser Permanente, right? So we got the best coverage there can be, right? I get like 40% off on the glasses. But even with that, like even if I had to go there, like the copay was $30 and the glasses are going to be around $350 because I got all the stuff. I got the anti-glare. I got the little transitions where they turn dark in the sunlight, got all that and got some nice frames. I didn't go for the, you know, bargain basement frames. Cause well, if you're going to wear it all the time, it should be nice. You know, I look at it as a prosthetic, right? I got $500 insoles in my shoes, by the way, same deal, right? I spent $500 getting custom made computer scanned arch supports cause I have bad feet. So I figured, you know, don't skimp on this. Let's spend some money on this. But as I'm there, I got to thinking about what if I didn't have this healthcare coverage and what if I was just like a lot of people out there who, through piss testing or whatever excuse, are in jobs that they can't get healthcare coverage. And how much that would have cost, right? Like, I don't know what even the appointment would have cost. I know $30 copay, but the appointment itself, hundreds probably. I looked at the cheap frames in the little iStore thing. It was like $69. And then, you know, once you put the lenses and stuff, that's more, right? And I know Walmart has like Walmart Eye Associates now. We could have gone to the Walmart Eye Place and gotten it for less, I'm sure. But still, we're talking about some major expenses that people have to put out for healthcare in this country. And you know, not as if $350 on my side isn't major to me as well. It's pretty major for me. Not rolling in dough here, but, you know, I need the glasses really badly. And so what this kind of brought me around to was just a recognition and an appreciation of what we're doing with medical marijuana in this country. And I was thinking of this while I was interviewing the doctor, David Kasseret, for this book, Stoned, right? He comes at it from a doctor's perspective, having never been in the cannabis community. And then, you know, he learns more about it from a patient of all people who brings him some studies. And I think about how much medical marijuana isn't really about medical marijuana. It isn't really about marijuana, really, but it's about our health and our healthcare and who's controlling that and who's profiting from that. You know, I've made this comparison on the show before, and I'll make it again. And that is that when medical marijuana passed in California in 1996, that was an event similar in changing a paradigm to Martin Luther nailing his protest on the church doors in the 16th century, late 16th century, I think it was. For those of you who don't know the religious history, of course, right? We got Protestants, we got Catholics, right? Well, for the longest time, there were no Protestants. There were just Catholics. They are the Roman Catholic Church. And it was, talk about your mixing of church and state. Church was state, okay? And the political influence of the Roman Catholic Church can't be denied throughout our history, right? So imagine that the paradigm for 1,500 years, the paradigm of what controls government and daily life to these people. Now, of course, we're not talking about China and India and all the other places that had no Christianity, just Western history here. But imagine that that's the paradigm of life, right? Of the very heads of government and the entire country and your entire culture based around this. And that the entire paradigm is this, that you are sinful and you need redemption. And the only possible way to get that redemption, to save your eternal soul, was to go to the learned man in the big opulent building. The learned man in the big opulent building would get you in a box and you could tell him all the terrible things you did. And he would absolve you of these sins, make say a few rote passages and then absolve you of these sins. And thus you have the chance of redemption and your eternal soul is not damned. Now, the fella in the box in the opulent building is part of a long chain of command in a bureaucratic infrastructure. It goes from him to the next level, to the next level, to the next level, that eventually goes to the Pope. And the Pope, as is taught for 1,500 years up to this time, the Pope is the right hand of God himself. He's the direct line to the salvation that will save your eternal soul. So imagine that that's the paradigm, right? The whole world works this way. What you know of the whole world, what is your world as a Westerner at that time in history, runs that way, on this idea that the only way to save your eternal soul was to go to the bureaucracy, the very rich bureaucracy that made its bank off of you going to them and pledging your money in fealty. that there had to be a series, there has to be a set of learned men who have the special knowledge, and only from them can you get your salvation. That's the setup. That's where history is for 1500 years. And then Martin Luther nails up his protest on the church door. He has a new paradigm. His paradigm is, wait, I've been reading this Bible. And I read this part about the Jesus fella. And this Jesus fella didn't say nothing about a bureaucracy and a whole bunch of steps to go through and rote memorization things to say and all of that. He said you could go and get your salvation directly from me. So the Protestant movement was born. And this was such a paradigm-shattering event that 500 years later, we're still having wars over this and battles and terrorism over this shift in paradigm. To me, medical marijuana in 1996 is like that, because the paradigm for 100 years had been you are sick or injured and you need healed, and the only way you can get healed is to go to the learned man in the opulent building who has the special knowledge passed down through the bureaucracy and the other learned men in their special dress. And only through them can you get your healing, and only through their administrations of pills and potions can you get your healing. And medical marijuana was Martin Luther pounding on the hospital door, a protest that said, wait a minute, I've been looking at these plants. I've been studying nature. I've been checking out ancient cultures from time immemorial, and even our own up until the late 1800s, that used the plants to get the healing themselves. They could go straight to the source. Go straight to the source and not have to go through the middlemen and the bureaucracy and the tithing and the pills and everything involved. So that, to me, the passage of Prop 215 in California was our Protestant Revolution. It was the changing of the paradigm that you have to go to the doctor, that only the science, only the learned men who have beaten nature, who've extracted from nature a certain molecule here and a certain molecule there, only they can provide you with your healing. And now we're discovering, no, we're all in this together. There's a synergy between all the living things on the planet. And plants have things called an entourage effect, that it's not the one thing that helps, it's all the things combined in this certain combination, this certain permutation that are going to help you. And it's different for every person. And every person has to find their individual relationship with the source of the healing. This particular plant might not work as well on that person as it does this person. This person might not have to use it in a different way. It's tailored to how we fit with the world, rather than we having to fit to a fixed pill at a fixed time of a fixed ingredient. Could talk for days on that, but that's all the time we got. Time flies when you legalize. Thanks for joining us here for another fine 2 hours of marijuana mirth and a little bit of data along the side. For everyone here at Rolla J Studios in beautiful legal Potland, Oregon, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you